Hello and welcome to Argue the Toss from GameIndustry.com. I'm Shella.
And I'm Drew. And together we're arguing about the things that really matter in games.
Indeed we are. And I forgot to say last time that it is season 2 of Argue the Toss, for what that's worth. And it's episode 2. Do you want to introduce our topic?
Yeah. What we've decided to talk about today is the games that we personally don't like, which everybody else seems to like. So we've both picked a game or a series, and we're going to discuss exactly why everybody is wrong about it and why we're right.
Yeah. Okay, so, I had quite a few. I seem to be out of step with the mainstream somewhat.
You did give me quite a list, yeah.
I know. So the one that I feel most met about and everybody seems to love are the Batman, the Arkham games.
Yeah. And I love these, so you're going to have a job convincing me on this one.
Okay, so I know that they're really slick, great looking games. There's like loads to do. It's very atmospheric. It puts on in lots of little DC comic in gags. The sort of the voiceovers are great. All the voice acting's great and all that. So I get why people like them. It just doesn't do it for me, and it's partly because it's a little bit joyless, and I find Batman a little bit joyless. He's a bit too serious for me. On the comic side of things, I'm more a Marvel girl than a DC girl, and particularly Batman as a character, he's not my favourite, because he's pretty much the least interesting person in Gotham City.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always saying this. It's the same in the films. It's the same in the Dark Knight. Everyone else seems to be having such a good time, and he's just
I know, this kind of joyless grouch.
Yeah.
Who decides to put on a bat suit to sort things out, and when he could be just having like wild parties because he's so rich.
Yeah, like go a bit more Tony Stark with it, but no.
Exactly, yeah. So there's that aspect of it, and and his villains are great, and that is the best thing about Batman. In fact, Gotham City, the TV show, which I absolutely love, proves that we don't need Batman for Gotham City to be awesome.
No, that's true.
And so it's partly that, and it's also, I just find it really repetitive in gameplay terms. It's sort of flap around in some rafters and swoop down, kill, zip back up, flap around, swoop, kill, repeat.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know what you mean. I think it's partially dependent on how much you... Not so much the character of Batman, but how much you like being Batman. Because what those games do very well is they make you feel like Batman. They are a Batman simulator. That's what he does in the comics and the TV show and all of this. There'll be a scene where there'll be a bunch of thugs or the Joker or Scarecrow or whatever. They'll be hanging around a room talking about their evil plans, and then suddenly a black shadow drops down from the rafters and someone disappears. So it allows you to sort of recreate the cool moments of being Batman very well. And I think I engage with that quite a lot. Even though, the thing about Batman is that he rarely, if ever, makes a joke, which is what I don't like about him. And when he does, he's not generally that funny. But I do like feeling like the Dark Knight, or like sneaking up on someone and they disappear, and everyone's terrified, and you use that as a distraction. It's really good at sort of conveying to you the things that Batman does. Which,
hitting the sort of key notes.
Yeah, exactly.
Of Batman. Yeah, and I mean, we never get to be Bruce Wayne.
No.
In the games, do we? Which I think would kind of be more interesting to have that, because he is kind of at his battle with the demon that is the Dark Knight.
Yeah.
And his, human playboy, whatever, hero of the city. I think it'd be quite interesting for them to bring that in.
There are brief scenes. The opening of Arkham City, it has you playing as Bruce and being sort of unmasked by Hugo Strange, and it does come back to that again in Arkham Knight at one point. But yeah, you never really get to sort of play the human side of Batman. It is just in the suit flying around, and
I just find that a bit limiting in sort of story terms and kind of
that's
gameplay.
I think the story of those games is not about Batman. I don't think that it's more about the Joker in general. I mean, the last one, slightly less so, that it does bring in someone else from the comics, and I thought was quite a good way. But generally, I think I play those games because I want to see what the Joker's up to, because he's so well done in those games. I mean, Mark Hamill's Joker is always fantastic, but particularly in those games, he's just, you've got your eyes fixed on him the whole time, you know?
I played the last one. What's that called?
Arkham Knight?
Yeah, Arkham Knight. Purely because I wanted the special edition PlayStation.
They released the Batman one.
Yeah, they did. It's silver with a Batman silhouette on it, and it is awesome. So it's pride of place in my living room, and the game came.
Did they change?
Oh, it should be. Yeah, it should be. And it came with the game for free. So I was like, okay, I'll give it a go. And I was just like, no.
I mean, Arkham Knight, I definitely had some problems with, because that does take one of the. There's a lot of Batmobile stuff in that game.
Yeah.
And that doesn't feel like being Batman, because it doesn't really feel like a car. It doesn't feel like you're driving around the Batmobile. Mm-hmm. It's this very strange vehicle which can rotate on the spot and travel in any direction and fire in any direction. And it just it's a very strange sort of rendition of it. And the game makes you do it so much. I couldn't get along with it at all.
Yeah. I mean, it looks gorgeous. Yeah. And the other thing is, I don't know, I don't really like this kind of super mech kind of armored Batman either.
The Dawn of Justice guy.
I prefer a bit more streamlined. I mean, I always remember Batman from the Detective Comics, and you know, just being a detective and with a few gadgets and stuff. Now he's like this super armored kind of.
Absolutely. I mean, in the comics, it's basically a cloth suit, isn't it? It's not. I think the reason he never gets hit is because he uses a cape to misdirect people, or I think that was the hand wavy explanation they sort of did. But and in Arkham Knight as well, it's very sort of specific. They have a specific plot moment about how his suit is very well armored and can deflect a bullet. It's not much of a spoiler, so I'll say anyway. There's a bit where they discuss, don't aim at the bat logo. That's where he wants.
Yeah,
that's where the armor's strongest. And why doesn't he just make the whole suit out of that stuff?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's really heavy. It chafes.
I'm actually allergic to it. I've got to put a pad on underneath that.
So that's my beef with Arkham Knight. It's not really a beef. It's more of a. I can take it or leave it.
I mean, that was something I had with mine as well. Is that I don't really hate the game I'm going to talk about. I think it's quite good in a lot of ways. It's just. All right, so I haven't mentioned what game it is. So I'll say I'm going to talk about Far Cry, sort of specifically Far Cry 3. Although I've played Far Cry 4 a little bit as well, and it seemed like very much the same sort of stuff.
Far Cry 3 is the one with the epic baddie, isn't it, that everyone loves?
Is it? Is that a meme that has been generated? It's the bald guy with
the like super crazy guy.
Oh yeah, that's the guy. He's
real psycho. Yeah,
he looks like he's on uppers pretty much throughout.
Yeah.
So yeah, first off, right, I really like the first Far Cry game. I like the first half of it. It's kind of famous for midway through it sort of diverts and you stop fighting bad guys and you start fighting these weird alien mutant monster things. Well, aliens is Crisis, but Far Cry is mutants. But because it's quite distinct from the subsequent stuff, and I know you haven't played it, so I don't know how well I'm going to be able to explain it. But it's not really open world. It's your sort of classic linear FPS, except that it's a lot of jungle sections, and they're much wider, and they give you a lot more scope for strategy. So you're this one non-military, non-combat trained person, and you're vastly outnumbered by a big, evil, opposing soldiery force. And a lot of the game is about using your environment to even those odds a little bit, because you're just some guy who's going to get shot up by the soldiers. But if you're hiding in the bushes, then I guess you can sneak up on them and kill them. And it feels like Die Hard in the Jungle in quite a deliberate way.
Okay.
And you can describe anything as Die Hard in the Jungle or Die Hard on a spaceship, and I'll be sold on it. I'll play like Die Hard on an anything.
Yeah, my interest was peaked at Die Hard in the Jungle.
Exactly. There we are. I mean, if you want to feel like you're in Die Hard, play that game. Or System Shock 2 is also another good one for that. But now, so you move on to Far Cry 3. I'm going to skip Far Cry 2 because I have quite mixed feelings on that game. But Far Cry 3 in particular, it's kind of the same premise. You're a dorky, coddled, idiot, white dude. The character's name is actually Jason Brody, which I love because it's the most American white guy name I can think of. I call him Chad Griffin, you know? And this big jungle environment in which all your opponents are ostensibly all better trained and more familiar with the surroundings than you are, and now you're going to have to adapt and learn to use that environment to your advantage to defeat the bad guys. So it's like a lot of the same notes, and it feels like you hit the same Die Hard notes that the first one did. Except that it rarely, like, if ever, feels that exciting. And I think a big part of that is that in Far Cry 3, it's a fully open world, and it's a huge one. You know, you have to use a hang glider to get around it. And I don't mean to argue that open world games are necessarily a terrible thing, but what they do pretty consistently, in my experience, is they kind of blow the idea of story and gameplay pacing out the window. Like, the reason Die Hard is good, the reason Aliens is good, is not because it's, you know, these protagonists with the odds stacked against them. It's pacing.
They're tight
scripts. They're really well written, particularly Die Hard, and particularly Aliens as well. But in Far Cry 3, in games like Far Cry 1, for example, when you find like a big, exciting new weapon, it's at a point where the story says you need it. Like maybe you've chased here, or you're in a really dangerous place, or you're running low on something, or there's this big new enemy you have to face. I'm not sure how well Far Cry 1 did that. And games of its ilk did that. Half-Life 1 does that very well, and Fear does that very well. In Far Cry 3, when you get the exciting new weapon, it's often because you harvested enough blue plants and tiger skins, you know? It's something you get on a side quest, or it's something you've improved on a side quest, and it makes it really hard for me to be excited by the progression of my character, because except in like prescribed moments, it doesn't run alongside the progression of the story. It's something weird that you're doing off to the side. And it's the bit in Die Hard where John McClane sort of realizes that he's got to go and defeat all these bad guys, and he binds up his feet and he sort of starts shedding off all the terrible stuff about his life and becoming the badass that he needs to be to defeat Hans Gruber or whatever.
Yeah.
That stuff happens in the middle of nowhere in Far Cry 3.
Okay.
It doesn't really feel like a character progression moment.
Right.
And the other thing about it is that there's so much of that stuff to do. There are a billion things to collect and do, and some of them are just so pointless. They don't contribute to anything.
I find that the collectibles thing is just out of control in games.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can agree with you on this, and Far Cry is a particularly sort of egregious offender for me.
Okay, I won't be going there, because it didn't appeal to me, I have to say, that game, and you kind of convinced me that I don't need it.
When I started sort of putting my thoughts together on it, I thought, it's not that bad. Maybe I'll try out Far Cry 4 again, because it's on sale at the moment. And then I got to the end of all the points I was. No, I'm actually not going to buy that. I'm going to.
Yeah, you reminded yourself why you don't need that. And isn't there Far Cry Primal?
Primal, if you're
is that
fairly
different?
Yeah, it is different. It's a Stone Age thing.
Quite interesting.
Yeah. I think I'll probably give that a look when it drops down.
Yeah, I'd quite like to give it a look too.
But I don't think that's a full price buy for me. The other thing is that, as someone who's a sort of completionist in games, I like to do all the stuff. I like to see all the cool things.
Right, okay.
Far Cry presents you like out of the gate, says there's loads to do, there's loads to go and collect, there's this side quest which you can do if you want, even though it doesn't sound that interesting, this woman wants you to do this for her, that guy, and when it gives you that much stuff, and you know, it gives you an amount of collectibles that I know I'm never going to get all of these. I'm never going to get 100% of this. And I find it difficult to motivate myself to do any of it then, you know? Because yeah. I'm not going to achieve what it wants me to achieve. I'm going to get halfway through or maybe 70% through and going to say, oh, that's it. That's fine. I'm happy there. And it just feels like a lot less of an achievement, which is something I want at the end of the game.
Yeah. I've got that with Skyrim, basically. It's just too much stuff that I just was like, basically.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about Skyrim is that you do have like a journal of the stuff you've done, the side quests you need to do. But in Far Cry, you've got a map, and every collectible is on the map. You know, not every single.
It's that Assassin's Creed syndrome.
Exactly. It gives.
Where you open the map and you just go, oh god, we'll put that away. Exactly.
It gives you a list of exactly all the stuff that you can collect, and you know what? Where's the fun in finding it then? That's just a list of places you have to go, and
and you just like left peering at this map, going, "What is that symbol again?" And then you have to go back to the key, and then you're just like, "Oh, I'm not. I don't think I'm getting. I don't know mushrooms today." Yeah. Or
feathers.
So, that's our games. So we might have caused a storm, I'm not sure, with Arkham and Far Cry series. You started out liking the first two and then slowly whittled away your... actually, the first one didn't do this that well either.
The thing is now, the original Far Cry, you can buy it on PS4, it's Far Cry Classic. It's not Far Cry 1, Far Cry Classic, which I think is a very sort of strange way to market it. Because it's the first game.
That's quite presumptuous of it.
It's sort of exclusive as well. It's like, oh, you want the first one. You want the classic one, do you? Okay.
Yes, more discerning Far Cry player.
Yeah, exactly. while they're marketing the big one. The first one, they kind of just want to push it off to the side and forget. It's like, oh, yes. I mean, some people like black and white films. You can go and watch that if you like. We won't bother.
Yeah, exactly. You beard strokers.
Yeah.
Right. So, we've argued the toss on that, I think.
We have indeed.
And we've got a few ideas for upcoming episodes. So, hopefully people will come and join us there and maybe give us some comments and things to tell us what
plenty what of exciting most, stuff on the way.
Most or least liked are. cheers, Drew.
Cheers, Jella.
Yeah.
You're all done.
And see you next time.
Bye-bye.